leave your radio until he's done speaking. It would be rude. Bob McCown in Primetime Sports is on the air on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Thursday, the 8th of May, 2014, is Primetime Sports, Canada's most listened to sports talk show on the Sportsnet radio and television networks coast to coast and up your street. And I say that with all due respect. John Shannon to my immediate left. Later, Mike Keenan, Dave Nonis, Barry Trotz, Michael McCann, Doug McClain, blah, 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 on and on.
Well, why did you put blah, blah, blah right beside Doug McClain?
No, I didn't put it beside him.
Okay. It's
after him. Okay. After him is blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Because it's going to... You know,
that's the name of the last segment.
Blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
That's a good name for it.
Thank you. That's what it's called. Blah, blah, blah. From now on.
Okay. Like all request Wednesday?
Yeah, most... All request most Wednesdays when we remember. Yesterday we remembered at the last possible minute.
I must admit, I did like the Darth Vader...
What was it called? What was that tune called?
Star Wars. I like that.
Imperial March.
I like that for you, Bob. That was good. That was really good.
I confess yesterday, I've never seen
Star Wars. I heard that.
Do you find that unusual? Do you think everybody should have seen Star Wars? I mean, I'm prepared to acknowledge maybe I should have.
The first three, yeah. I don't know.
The first three, really?
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't get into it, and then time passes, and...
I mean, Star Wars, The Return of the Jedi, and Empire Strikes Back. I mean, that's good stuff.
Or, is it, really?
I'm not sure.
All right, okay. Well, right.
Those are three pretty good movies, Bob.
I mean, there's no rush. I mean, I've waited like 25, 30 years.
They're still available.
I have them.
Yes, I know, Bob.
I just haven't seen them, that's all. Anyway, let's move along. So the story of the day is Randy Carlyle gets a two-year contract extension from the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I was listening to Sam and Ted on the way down because there was nothing else on. My radio was stuck. And they were rattling off all these tweets and emails or whatever they've received from, you know, the basement dwellers that listen to their show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too easy to be mad about this and not have to substantiate a reason why you're angry that Randy Carlyle hasn't been fired. The truth of the matter is, I'm happy with this move. I'm good with this move.
So am I.
I think this is the right move to make. I said from the beginning of time, it's the players that need to change, not the coach.
And what a revelation in pro sports that is, when you think about how many times coaches get fired just because you can't fire the players. There's enough tweaking needed to be done with this roster. I think that Carlyle deserves one last crack at making it a better hockey club.
Well, Dave Nonis has to make this a better hockey club. I like David much, but he has to make this a better hockey club. He hasn't yet. And I think it's time to rethink some of the things. And I give everybody the opportunity to, everybody's going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
I think he's made some mistakes. And I think he's now got to undo those mistakes.
What, other than David Clarkson, what would you
say? Dion Phaneuf.
The new contract.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, the highest paid defenseman in the National Hockey League is Weber.
Yes.
Now, he makes $14 million a year, but amortized over the length of his deal, it's just under $8
million. Mm-hmm.
So there's no defenseman in the NHL making over $8 million a year.
For now.
Right. Dion Phaneuf is making $7 million a year.
So you think...
He is either the fifth or sixth, I can't remember which... fifth highest paid defenseman in the National Hockey League.
Right.
Is he the fifth best defenseman in the National Hockey League? Is he the 15th best defenseman? Is he the 50th best defenseman?
He's 20. He's top 25, Bob. But he's not top five. He's top 25.
So it's the 25th best defenseman in the National Hockey League, mate.
Well.
Three and a half? Four?
Hey, in this day and age, I mean, that's a great question. You, in the end, it becomes.
Can we get that information, please? What's the? I want to know what's the 25th. Now, I'm not even acknowledging he's the 25th best defenseman in the NHL.
I think we're being generous at it, but I think
he's. I don't. I'm not sure he's in the top 50.
Well, Bob,
there's 30 teams in the National Hockey League. You mean to tell me
there's 180 defensemen?
Yeah. On how many teams is Dion Phaneuf on the top pair?
One.
Then he's the 59th best defenseman in the NHL.
Oh, that's not necessarily so because
yes,
there are
it is.
No, there are teams that don't deserve ones or twos either.
Alex Adler's the 25th highest paid defenseman at $5 million. All right, so
fine. And there are people in Vancouver trying to get him out of town too.
Yeah, so, but even if I acknowledge he's the 25th, which I do not.
Who's a better defenseman, Alex Edler or Dion Phaneuf?
I don't know. It's Vancouver Canucks. I don't watch the Vancouver Canucks enough. You're the only one who stays up that late.
Yes, I do.
Nobody stays up that late. And, you know, we're in the East here, with due respect to our friends in Vancouver. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know enough in order to make a value comparison. Who would you rather have?
Honestly?
Hard question to answer, isn't it?
Neither.
Exactly. So now we've cited.
Okay, we've got Clarkson,
a couple of bad moves.
You think Phaneuf?
Oh no, for sure not. I don't think Phaneuf. I know Phaneuf.
Okay, you know Phaneuf.
It's a bad deal.
We know David Clarkson was a bad deal. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to figure out the culture change that needs to occur, and you hope that Brendan Shanahan's going to help create that culture change. Changing three assistant coaches, I'm not sure that's enough of a culture change in this situation.
Well, why does that? That's sort of a puzzling thing. We endorse Randy Carlyle, but we don't like any of your assistants.
Well, here's
who's doing the coaching?
Well, the head coach and his assistants are doing the coaching.
So they don't like the assistants, but they like him?
Yeah, no, this is the second time it's happened this week, Bob. If you recall, Ken Hitchcock,
two of his guys got bumped.
Right.
Yeah, but one was a goalie coach, and wasn't the other one the strength and conditioning coach or something?
No, one was a guy behind the bench, Gary Agnew.
Oh.
So, I mean, who he brought in from Columbus where they were together.
Well, see, I understand, like, you know, maybe you don't think you need a goalie coach because you got experienced goaltenders. And one guy could be an ass, so you just want to get rid of him. They fired all of his assistants.
Yeah, and gave him an extension.
So let me throw this at you, Lucy. The head coach of the Detroit Red Wings has 1 year left on his deal. Shanahan is a disciple.
What is he?
No, I think so.
What would you base that on?
I don't know.
See, I think I talked to a few people in Detroit this week, and they were a little perturbed at that these rumors and stories were being talked about because Babcock has told everybody he's happy in Detroit.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think too much is made out of it.
Maybe the Detroit people you're talking to ought to get off their asses and get them a new contract.
Well, perhaps that's happening.
Well, hurry up, and then we'll stop talking about it. Until that time, we have 3 hours to fill.
There's the key.
I realize the Detroit Red Wings may not be happy. Perhaps they should listen to the talk radio station in their own market instead of listening to this one.
But your point is a good one, Bob, because I think one of the reasons...
What was my point? I forget.
Well, no, it's there somewhere, is that you can't get rid of Randy Carlyle without having a valid replacement.
Yeah, who's that guy?
That's right. And I think that after you do your due diligence around the National Hockey League of available coaches, would you rather have Barry Trotz than Randy Carlyle?
Well, you got somebody else's, you know.
Reject.
Yeah.
And Randy Carlyle has won a trophy as a player, so he knows how to win there. He's won a coach won a cup as a coach. I don't think there are many better coaches, any better coaches available today in the National Hockey League than Randy Carlyle.
I agree 100% with that.
So this is not
a bad
move.
I'm not saying that we know that Randy Carlyle or believe that Randy Carlyle is the best coach in the National Hockey League.
Never said that.
No. What we're saying is, if you look at who's available, what do you got? You got somebody else's discard pile.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, would you hire Adam Oates? Well, you know, there's lots of stories of how inexperienced he was in Washington. Would Mueller? You hire Kirk Mueller? He missed the playoffs for three straight years. You know, there aren't a boatload of guys out there.
I'm telling you. I know that.
So that was your good point.
But why did you fire the three assistant coaches? What did
they
do?
Well, I think that was a message to Randy saying, hey, you're on the clock too.
And all you had to do was tell him that. See, that's why I'm bringing up the Babcock thing. Because if Babcock's available at the end of next year, maybe Shanahan makes a couple of calls. You know, he's not going to be able to wrangle Babcock out of Detroit this year. Maybe he thinks, wait till next year. So what do I do? Do I bring in a guy for 1 year? And then maybe he has a good year, and then I've screwed myself? No, I leave Randy there. Minimum contract you can probably give anybody's 2 years, which is what they gave him.
Yeah. Well, no, who's St. Louis. St. Louis only gave Hitchcock one.
Yeah, that is true, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So, I don't buy the Babcock stuff. I think Tim Leiwicki, who thinks big, dreams big, believes big, says, well, we need the best coach.
Yeah.
History has seen this organization go and try to do that at other positions too. Who's the best guy for the job? Who's this? We got to do this. Brian Colangelo was the best manager for the basketball team. Brian Burke was the best manager in hockey to run the hockey team.
Right. They're both gone.
Yeah. And that's what, I mean, history repeats itself. And Tim's there sitting saying, you know, we need the best. Mike Babcock's the best. Well, hold on. He's under contract. If you say too much publicly, it's tampering.
I understand. That's why we're saying it. We can say all we want. They can't charge us with tampering. I'm just wondering.
I think if
you're looking for an explanation, if you're not sold on the problem is the players, not the coach, which is my core belief, how about this one? Babcock, a year from now. So you stick with Carlisle for 1 year. I mean, they ain't going to win the Stanley Cup anytime
soon. Not with this roster.
I said there's five or six guys on this roster I'd keep. And the rest, right to the curb.
If you can move them. And that's...
I don't even care if I can move them. I'd move them. I'd rather bring the whole Marlies team up. I mean, they're in the playoffs. They haven't lost a game yet, have they?
Yeah, but...
How much worse than the Toronto Maple Leafs can they be?
They are a little lower in the pecking order, Bob.
Well, just because there's guys making more money with commitments to play in Toronto.
No, the Leafs are better than the Marlies, Bob. The Leafs are better than the Marlies.
Can we find that out in a 7-game series?
Hey.
How about this?
Hey, Leafs TV needs content.
Sportsnet needs content.
Oh, no.
TSN needs content.
They do that.
So, but here's a better one. Let me take five members of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay.
Then you can pick the next five, the five best Marlies.
Okay.
And we'll flip those two. And then the five best Leafs will play with the rest of the Marlies. The five best Marlies will play with the rest of the Leafs. Who wins?
I think my...
The five best Leafs.
You think the five best Leafs with the 15 Marlies?
Yeah. Really? Because I think the rest of the parts on this team are entirely interchangeable with almost anybody walking down the street.
That's a little harsh, Bob.
That's what I do.
Yes, I know. But it's
called truth.
The truth hurts, does it?
Sometimes.
I think
I'm not
wrong.
Up to hurt anybody's feelings.
No.
If you're a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs and I've just insulted you, turn your radio off. Otherwise, I don't give a flying fadoo. This team has sucked for a long time, and there's no free ride here.
Well, I think that's the better message. And I think that...
And I got news for you. When I talk about the five best Toronto Maple Leafs, Dion Phaneuf ain't one of them.
Really?
No.
Give me the five, then.
Just off the top of my head?
Yeah.
Give me the first line, the goaltender, and Riley. There's five. I'll take those five. You can have the rest. Bet you $5 I beat you.
We could probably get a computer company to do the game for us.
I think we ought to.
Yeah.
That's perfect, by the way. Thank you very much. The audience doesn't know what that's about, but.
Yes, we know. Yeah, you know what? This team does need a lot of tweaking. And I mean, I think that Jake Gardner's in trouble now based on Randy Carlyle's last press conference of the year. I would suggest that Nazem Kadri's on the clock again. But you're having Nonis on later. He can probably give you a better indication.
I'm interested. I mean, what impact do you think the exit meetings? We hear all these exit meetings. What do you think the exit meetings meant to?
Well, it depends who's doing the interviewing in the exit meetings. If it's just Dave Nonis or Randy Carlyle, he was doing exit meetings the day of the Shanahan press conference, so it was just Carlyle. And then I know Brendan has done some with some specific players as well, like Phil Kessel and like the captain.
Don't you think that if there was a Palace revolt, considering the team's performance and record,
mm-hmm.
if indeed the players threw the coach under the bus and tried to blame him, don't you think they would have got rid of the coach? Not
yes.
because they
yes.
necessarily
yes.
believe it, but they would have said, look, it's just not salvageable.
Yes, I do.
So this whole notion that Carlyle has lost the room, and I heard this with Dumb and Dumber in the three previous hours.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like it's a fact. Randy Carlyle, when he lost the room, blah, blah, blah. Well, how the hell do you know he lost the room? I'm not in the room. Are they in the room?
Listen, Randy Carlyle...
I mean, I know they're the fair-haired golden boys around here, but does that mean they get to go into the Leafs dressing room and find out what's really going on?
Maybe they might actually...
Maybe that's part of the deal, huh?
Maybe. At least 37.5% of the time.
Well, then you have to let TSN in.
Oh, that's right. I'm not one of those guys that really believes the coach has to be liked by the players. I don't think you are either. I mean, Scotty Bowman was never really liked by his players, except for one day in most years when they
got to hold the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, and this town is so short-sighted when it comes to time frames. It wasn't that long ago that Ron Wilson was here. And Randy Carlyle had a 5-year contract. And in this day and age, it takes longer to build quality sports teams in any league. All you have to do is look down the hall at how long it took Colangelo not to build a franchise.
All you have to do is look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're coming up on 50 years here.
But you can't blame Nonis and Carlyle for Jerry McNamara's failings. You can't do that.
Oh, sure I can.
Yeah, you can, but nobody else really would.
Well, I've been here for all 50 years.
Yeah. Haven't we all?
So
I'm just saying that
when you take the job, you inherit the crap that you really didn't create. But you inherit it.
Oh, yeah, but there has to be a little bit of patience when it comes to say, okay, what's Carlyle trying to do? And you have to have the right type of players. And you can't get rid of players left and right like you want to in the National Hockey League anymore because of the way the CBA works and the way the dollars work.
I mean, I said from day one, it's the players that are crap. Is the coach crap? Well, I don't know that. Has the coach lost the room? Well, I don't know that. Yeah. And neither does anybody else. So all these loudmouths with all their opinions about how angry they are that Randy Carlyle is still the head coach, they're a bunch of illiterate dopes. They don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What I know is the team isn't good enough. Why don't we address the team for a change instead of trying to change the coach? And how has that worked as we've gone through this roller coaster ride of head coaches?
Right.
And the truth is, doing an exit poll, if I was the general manager or a coach of a hockey team, I would never sit down with the players at the end of the year. If I was going to sit down with the players at the end of the year, here's what it would be. I'd say, all right, you were crap. Either you get better next year or you're not going to be on this team. Have a nice summer. Next. That would be the extent of the... It wouldn't be a conversation. It would be a speech. I don't want to have a conversation with the employees and find out what they think. How many times has Keith Pelley or the new CEO of Rogers come down here and said, John, what do you think of this?
I don't recall them. I don't think I've met the new guy.
I don't think that's happened a whole lot.
No. I didn't realize Jack Adams took over primetime sports, though. You sound like an old-time hockey guy now. You're going to sign a guy for a jacket?
If I could.
we are talking. We're going to get them on the bus, you know?
Well, all I'm saying is I don't care what the peons think. It's just I'm not interested in that. What I'm in, they're there to play. I'm interested in how they play. I'm not interested in their opinions on anything. If any of them had a college education or even a high school education, I might be more inclined.
By the way, Randy Carlyle may not have lost the room, but McCowan just did.
Which one?
Oh, no, you lost the Leaf dressing room.
Screw them. I'm not the least bit interested in the day
and age. The day and age of the hard ass like that, I truly believe has changed.
Well, no, but I'm just saying. Because
the way the pendulum has swung so far in the player's favor on every issue, that if you treat the players the way you try to treat them, like John Tortorella probably treated the Vancouver Canucks, you're not going to last in this league. You're not going to last in this league.
Well, I'm not in the league.
But you were, you were coaching the Leafs there after your exit interviews for a couple of minutes.
Well, I'm just saying what I would do.
Yeah, and you wouldn't last very long.
Well, I got news for you. Guys who are nice and listen don't last long either.
No, but there's a fine
there's
line.
There's plenty of nice guys that got fired.
Oh, no, I don't doubt that. But there's
all kinds of them.
There's a fine line of coaching and psychology today, Bob, and you know that. You know, Mike Babcock is a hard ass too, but at the same time, there are certain things and certain issues that he manages pretty well and creates expectations and people buy in.
Well, see, but I like Mike Babcock. I like Mike Keenan.
You like Mike Keenan, huh?
Oh yeah, I know where you know where you stand.
I like Mike Keenan too.
You know where you stand. I think that's all you should have to ask. And I don't think Mike Keenan's interested in what his players think. And I'm not interested in what players
think. At 4:40, we should ask him.
Oh, that's right. He's coming on.
At 4:40, we should ask him.
We'll ask him.
Okay.
Do you care what your players think?
Well, and the key thing is for his team right now, even if they talked back to him, he wouldn't understand.
He wouldn't understand, no. But he's got a Gestetner Cup or whatever it is.
Gagarin Cup.
It's a G thing.
You know?
He's got a G Cup and an S Cup. If he can find a couple of C cups, he'll be in perfect shape. All right. Oh, let's move along here.
Please.
Starting to sound like Sam and Ted. Shy with us? Davidi, are you there? Hello?
I am.
Oh, testing. 1, 2. Didn't know if this thing was on. Hold on. Where are you at? Are you at the ball yard or on your way down, or what are you doing?
I am at the ball yard. I'm watching the Blue Jays stretching.
Exciting stuff, I know.
It's you know how it is. Hurry up and wait.
There's some anticipation of a return of a few of the walking wounded. Are we likely to see anybody come back tonight?
Adam Lind is in the lineup at designated hitter. I haven't seen him in the clubhouse yet, but I assume he's here since he's in the lineup. And Casey Jansen, from what I've heard, is that he's going to look to throw one or two outings this weekend before he returns. He wants to be extra cautious and make sure that that oblique is ready to go before he comes back.
And the third baseman?
The third baseman is not in the lineup yet, and I hadn't heard an update on his return. Yesterday they said that if he wasn't in the lineup today, they'd expect him tomorrow.
Okay.
Shai, what's the roster move to get Lynn back?
Chad Jenkins goes down, and thankfully we're back to a 7-man bullpen, although I wonder how long that's going to last and whether when Casey Jansen returns, if they're going to go back to an 8-man and get rid of one of the extra catchers at that point, which would be disappointing because really John Gibbons needs a 4-man bench to really be able to pull some strings late in games when things are close and you need a little play. And, you know, the starting rotation is starting to show that it deserves, or you can handle the load, that you don't need it, the extra reliever. But you know how Alex Anthopoulos is with guys with options, and you know, I don't think that they're ready to pull the plug on Todd Redman or Esmond Rogers just yet.
You know what I like about the bench right now, Shai, is you look at it, and depending on who's playing where, you understand, because that is kind of a moving target thing right now. But Gibby can look down the bench, and at least there's a couple of guys there who might get a hit.
Right.
Last year, good luck. I mean, you had 21 guys who played and four guys who are defensive replacements. You know, you needed a pinch hitter at some point in the game. You got nobody. You had DeRosa, mm-hmm. who hit, what did he hit, 230, 240 or something like that at best?
Right.
I mean, now you at least got some guys.
But yeah, and you know, it was like that, and not just last year, Bob. It was in April this year, too. I mean, there was, at times it's a three-man bench. If someone was day-to-day, it was a two-man bench. And really, what's he going to do late in games? But when Brett Laurie is ready to go, you look at the bench, if Eric Kratz stays, you've got a right-handed power bat in Kratz, a left-handed power bat in Juan Francisco. Depending on who's at second base, if Getz isn't in the game, you've got a guy who can steal you a base or score from first on a double. And they haven't had that option before at all. And there are times where surely it probably affected games or at least limited the way he can manage. So you shouldn't be, in the American League, you shouldn't, for the most part, need to be relying on your bench. But in those games where it's close and late and sometimes things turn on an at-bat, a base runner, things like that, then it's really going to come in handy for him.
You know, the one guy's not going to steal your base is the catcher, Navarro. Were you one of those guys?
He stole one this year.
Well, not right now. The point is, were you one of the guys that expected him to go on the DL?
No, and this is the thing. When he's running, unless it's in a situation where it's really important, he's going to guard against moving too fast and tweaking that quad again. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't have to run down the line when he was trotting out yesterday on the single, I can't remember exactly what the score was at that point. It was 6-7-0, something like that. But the game was clearly under control. There was no reason for him to risk an injury and burn down the line, or at least attempt to do his version of burning down the line. But, you know, I can understand where you're coming from on that, because, you know, he'd lose to a Molina in a race right now, and that's not a good thing.
He would lose to Molina in a race.
Any Molina.
Any Molina. Even Benji's been out of the game for a few years.
A snail race is what you're calling it.
Yeah, you know, race in parentheses.
You know what's funny? And I said this the other day. I said, you know, the Blue Jays lose one game, and the doubters come flying out of the closet with, like, on Twitter, like, they just fly out. I get 20, 50, 100 messages, and they win one game, and it goes all silent.
Right.
And now four wins in a row, right in the middle of it again. And you don't know where this is going to go. It could be a roller coaster ride, but it's all silent again. It's just, it's curious that nobody believes in this team. Is that logical, obvious? I mean, based on last year's performance, is everybody, you know, kind of from Missouri now, we want to wait and see? Because there's so much negativity in the fan base about the prospects for this team. And frankly, I'm way more optimistic than most fans, and that doesn't happen very often. What do you think?
Yeah, well, what you're fighting against is, you know, 20 years of fatalism, right? And 20 years of broken promises and 20 years of failed dreams. And at the first sign of trouble, fans are going to right away revert to, oh, here we go again, or it's not going to work out, they stink, and things of that nature. So you can't really fight history in that sense. But I'm with you, and I think that what we've seen over the past few weeks is really, really, hopeful is too much of a word, but gives you reason to think that things could play out well here. And the reason I say that is that the starting rotation is really starting to come around. The offense is doing its thing. And the area of concern, the bullpen, if that just stabilizes, and, you know, it's quite possible that, you know, the seven games or whatever that they frittered away in the past 2 weeks, that that's just a blip and it's a result of overuse and things of that nature. If that indeed is a blip, then they've really got a chance to take off. And, you know, even if they had just split half of those games, they're three games over 500 six games over 500 and leading this division. So you put all that together and you think, yeah, there's some reason to believe. Is there some cause for concern? Is there reason to doubt? Sure, there's always reason to doubt. But there are enough hopeful signs and signs of optimism that people really need to give this team a chance, because little things that you wouldn't have seen last year. Even the other night in Philadelphia, when Jose Bautista went the other way against the shift,
right,
moved Melky Cabrera first to third. In that, a couple of people said, I talked to Jose Reyes today, and he was saying he was really impressed by that. He thought that was a very important moment for this team, showing that how many guys are willing to play winning baseball. And if that continues, I mean, you know, as long as these aren't incidents in isolation, then this team's got a chance to stay competitive in a very, very equal and American League East filled with flawed teams.
You know, this, you're in the middle of a 9-game homestand now. Is this building enough of a home field advantage?
Well, I mean, they haven't played well at home so far. I mean, they've been better on the road. I think they're a couple games over 500 on the road and a couple or one under
at home, one over it on the road.
Right, exactly. So there hasn't been much of a home field advantage so far, and they really need to start putting the pedal in the metal on that. I mean, the Phillies are a team that don't look good at all, and they've taken 3 of 3 so far, and they need to make it 4 of 4. And then they got a bit of a better test coming up with the Angels and the Indians. But they need to turn this place into a den where they've been good. And they were, for the most part, pretty okay at home last year. They weren't, comparatively to how they played on the road, they were much better at home last year. So they need to get back to that. And then, you know, the old adage, you play 500 on the road and do your damage at home, you're going to be all right. If they can start doing that, then it's going to be pretty interesting.
Well, A.J. Burnett comes back tonight, huh? He's pitched well for them, though.
He has. I mean, it's interesting, too, because he's not, in a lot of ways, he's not the guy Blue Jays fans will remember. From a stuff perspective.
Well, he smiles?
Well, there's still good A.J. and bad A.J., I would imagine. But the stuff, it's not, you know, the 96, 97 guy who just blows away. You know, he pitches a lot more. And you can look back and say, you know, if he pitched like the way he does now when he still had the stuff, then you would have really had something back then. But he's also matured. And I went down to Pittsburgh a couple of years ago and he was there. And I was talking to a couple of Pirates, and Rod Barajas was there at the time too, who was his catcher here in Toronto. And he was saying, you would not believe what a leader AJ's grown into. And when Brad Lincoln came over from the Pirates here, he was saying the same thing. And you know, you could see the influence that he'd had in that clubhouse. And, you know, the vision Blue Jay fans and people who covered him, like myself, we might have of AJ as the guy, the prankster running down the foul lines with the mascot races when they used to have them here, and, you know, running around the clubhouse with a super soaker. But, you know, he grew up a little bit, and he really had a nice end to his career.
Well, we will see how things progress tonight. The Blue Jays go for 5 in a row. They're already on the longest winning streak of the season for them. Mr. Davidi, enjoy the game. Thanks a lot for taking a few minutes.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Shai Davidi of Sportsnet at the Ball Yard. Mike Keenan will join us when we come back. Magnitogorsk coach.
Yeah.
Winner of the Gestetner Cup in Russia. Gagarin Cup.
Yes. Yeah. Yuri Gagarin, come on, first man in space. Come on.
Well, that's what the Russians say. I don't think he was anywhere. I think he was in Sudbury. 27 minutes before the hour. It's prime time on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
The Fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590.
Team before the hour. He won a Stanley Cup. Now he's got a Gestetner Cup. Galileo Cup. Gagarin Cup.
It's a big... Have you seen the thing?
No.
Mike couldn't have brought it on the carry-on, for sure.
Bigger than Stanley Cup?
Yes, it's massive.
Why does it have to be that big?
I don't know. Ask the coach.
Here's Mike Keenan. How come the damn cup's so big, Keenan?
I think they like things big in Russia. It probably weighs another 10 pounds more than the Stanley Cup. And it's a few inches taller, so it's quite an impressive cup and an expensive piece of jewelry.
Did you lift it over your head?
I tried to, but I couldn't either.
You weakling! You are a weakling.
Well, that puts it at 42. That puts it at 42 pounds. If it's 10 pounds more than the Stanley Cup, so.
I know. It's approximate, but that's close to it.
Now, do you get? Do they give you the cup for a day at the cottage, or are you going to take it to Key West? What are you going to do with it? Come on!
So. I'm going to bring it to Sportsnet.
Well, if we put it, if we put it on the desk, we wouldn't be able to see Bob anymore.
There we go.
That might not be a bad thing, is what Keenan's saying without actually saying it. So, are you going back for another year? What's the deal?
So far, I am.
What the hell does that mean? So far, I am. What, unless they change their minds?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was a great experience.
Really?
A lifetime experience. Just the vastness of the league, 9 countries, next year's 10 countries, 9 time zones in Russia alone, and then we have another 5-hour time zone to Prague, which was the furthest west team from we were right near the rural Ural Mountains, right in the middle of the country, a little bit I guess west, but for example, to go to Vladivostok, which is Admiral on the Sea of Japan, was an 8-hour flight.
Oh my god.
How many times would you go there, Mike?
Well, we played them in the playoffs, unfortunately, in the first round. We were fortunate. We only played 5 games, so it was home and home, and throughout the season. And this year, I believe they're thinking about home and home, with the exception of your division, and they're adding a double home and home to move it up to a few more games. It was a little bit of a shortened season because of the Olympic break last year.
Right. So really,
the travel was vast. I mean, 9 different countries. The experience is unbelievable. The cultural experience alone, the hockey experience, trying to get people to work and they don't understand you. It was all in all. The living in a what I would call a fancy university dorm. It was interesting.
So again, let me backtrack a little bit. And the reason you want to go back after this is what?
Well, I didn't mind the experience. I really didn't. It was in terms of a cultural opportunity to learn about people. I didn't live in fancy Moscow or
St. Petersburg.
I lived in the heartland of Russia where nobody could speak English, and you had to find your way every day, and they're crazy drivers, and it's not a pretty place. It's a big factory town, much larger than Hamilton, 60,000 employees in one steel mill. Blue-collar people work their shift work. It was fascinating. Yet there's a renaissance. It reminded me of my mother in the 50s. The women dress up unbelievable just to go grocery shopping. It's a very intriguing, interesting. And I'm not sure if I captured it all. I mean, one day I woke up in Harbouris, which is just north of Vladivostok, sort of towards Alaska, and I'm looking out my hotel window, and the receptionist in broken English says, "That's China," across the river.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you saw Sarah Palin from your backyard. So,
I don't have the vision she's got.
Hey, let me. So I'm if I'm Ted Leonsis,
mm-hmm.
and I pick the phone up and say, Mike.
You didn't ask me that question at the top of the show.
No. I'm Ted Leonsis, and Mike, we want you to come and talk to us about coming back to Washington. Your contract with the KHL allows you to come back to the NHL, correct?
I'd have to have a discussion with them.
With the people at the KHL?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you said, you were quoted the other day, and I don't know whether it's accurate or not. Let me ask you. You were quoted.
If it's in the media, it doesn't mean it's necessarily accurate.
Well, yeah. Or you, it might be accurate, but you might choose to deny it now.
Yeah.
Which is,
what does it say?
We've all done that. Well, it said you have no interest in coaching in the NHL.
That's not what I said at all.
No. Okay.
I said that I have had no interest from NHL teams.
Oh, that's an entirely different thing.
Yeah. Not that I wasn't interested. I said I had no interest. So maybe I should have stated it a little bit differently, that no one has had any interest in me for quite some time, as you know, except for you and John on the show on Sportsnet.
Well, and don't get carried away. We're not that interested in you.
No, I know. John had to put up with me more than you did.
Iron, listen,
item.
Once we taught you how to do Twitter, you were very good.
Yeah, you know something? I have to go back for lessons. I'm really stuck on that right now.
No. Well, now would be the perfect time to come back to Sportsnet, for God's sake. We just got the NHL rights for the next
for the rest of our lives.
I know.
We had the Sportsnet people over in Magnitogorsk doing a special.
Yeah, I know.
So that was kind of fun for them.
So the final series, you get into a shoving match after the after game six.
Now, what's the matter with you?
You're
too old
that?
For this nonsense.
What the heck,
well,
Mike?
I've actually was. Oh, my goodness. I went to the exit where the Zamboni was, and that's where the players had exited from our team throughout the series at the end of the game. But that was my first time to exit there. Normally, I went down the center aisle between benches. The referees were poor that night, and I wanted to tell them so, because they were the same referees at the previous game, and they actually influenced quite a bit. They actually did. I don't think, offside, because they influenced the outcome of the game the way they officiated. And I wanted to tell them, but some guy, I don't know who it was, started to push me. And,
well, that pissed you off.
Well, I said, after he did it the second time, I said, please don't do it the third time. I said, I don't know if you understand English or not, but he stopped. So it wasn't the officials. I don't know who it was. So maybe it was a fan from Prague. I'm not sure who it was.
And how many imports did you have on your team?
We had five, and that's a little bit of an unbalanced situation there. The Russian teams can have five imports, and the teams outside of Russia can have as many as they like. So Prague had 16.
Wow.
So it was a task.
How would you? We only got about a minute here.
Yeah,
Mike. How would you compare the hockey there to? I mean, is it AHL? Is it just below NHL?
It's far better than
that.
It
is.
I was shocked. The first game we played, and we had a pretty good preseason, we went 8-1-1, but we played the defending champions in game one. I wasn't ready for it. They just flattened us. So I said, this is good. But our series against Prague in the finals would be comparable to the NHL playoffs. Now, we wouldn't be comparable to the final two teams this postseason,
right.
But these early rounds, for sure.
Like, the best teams in the KHL would make the playoffs in the NHL.
Yes.
Well, that's a pretty fair analysis.
Yeah.
So you're home for the summer, and then depending on if the phone rings?
Actually, you guys will be shocked, but I'm going back to Moscow in a few days because I'm, believe it or not, John, I'm coach of the year. I said I only wanted to coach for the year.
Oh.
And again, you were misquoted.
I know.
Twice now.
Well, so you know,
I'm flying back for the awards banquet. Mr. Medvedev has invited me back.
Yeah, and when Mr. Medvedev phones, you show up.
Well, they're gracious enough to acknowledge that I haven't had that award since my first year in coaching in Philly.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And
I don't think that's public, by the way.
It is now.
Yeah, it is now.
Mike Keenan coached
late for
the
that.
Year in the KHL.
No, but you keep misquoting me, so.
No. No, I didn't misquote you.
We'll misquote you after we hang up from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Coach, and we hope to see you soon.
See you this summer, Mike.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
The coach of Metallurg Magnitogorsk.
Yes, sir.
The coach of the year and in the KHL, and the winner of the
Gagarin Cup,
the Gestetner Cup.
Thank you,
Mike Keenan. Thanks, Shanny.
Always.
Dave Nonis will join us. He'll explain himself. Barry Trotz, Michael McCann of Sports Illustrated, Doug McLean. Lots to come. It's prime time. Stick around.